Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
There we go. Nice. Good morning, 10:30. Are you all alive? All kicking. Good morning, Brakpan. They're always so loud and proud, aren't they? Good morning and welcome. Welcome to church. I want to echo Pastor Cann and Pastor Kulu's welcome. If you're new with us today, we are so happy that you're with us. You've chosen a great Sunday to be with us. It's Vision Sunday, and today's a day where we look ahead, just so you know what it's all about. We look ahead to the year ahead, and we decide to ask God to bless the vision for the year. And we decide to ask Him to put it into our hearts. And we declare it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes something that we become. And strangely, mysteriously, at the end of the year, as we live with this vision for the whole year, all of a sudden we find ourselves a little bit different to what we were at the beginning of the year because it's taken root in our lives. Are you with me? So come, church, would you stand with me? Would you do me the honor of standing together? And shall we pray? Let's take a moment. Come, maybe you want to lift your eyes to heaven, your heart to heaven, your hands to heaven. Let's take a moment and ask God to do what only He can do. Amen? Father, in these moments, here we are. We are your people. We are the church. It's not a destination, it's an identity. And in these moments, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and you would move and you would work and that you would enable each one of us, every single heart in the building this morning, that our hearts would be soft. They would be receptive. They would be pliable. Holy Spirit, that you would come and place faith into our hearts this morning like we have never had before. That you would come and stir our faith, stir our spirits, stir our hearts. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would come and give us a vision for what you want us to become as a church, who you want us to become as a church and as individuals. I pray that you would take these words, that you would place them into the deepest parts of our hearts, and most of all, Holy Spirit, that every word today would be a seed received by us and that that seed would produce incredible fruit. We pray for this in Jesus' name, and everybody in the 10:30 said, amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please do have a seat. We all know that old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Anybody ever heard that? How many of you know that in Africa, that's even more true? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you need to get something done, what have you got to do? You've got to know a guy or a girl. But it's more powerful when we don't have to rely on knowing a guy. And we can say to ourselves, I know a God. I know a God. Vision for 2025, just four simple words. I know a God. Listen, you may know a guy, but I know a God. You may know a girl, but I know a God. And we're praying that as each one of us, as we receive the vision, as it gets woven, you know, week in and week out, this is why it's so important that we're in church so often, so that we receive the tapestry, so that you don't lose a strand, so you don't lose the building block, that as we weave it into our lives over this year, this would become like a default response for us, that we would be people that no matter what comes our way, good or bad, challenge or celebration, valley or high point, that we become people that have something in us, deep within us, that says, I know a God. Are you with me today? That these four words, they kind of live and breathe in you a little bit. That they become words that become part of our DNA, part of our who we are. That they become part of our spirit. That there's something in our lives that's like becomes this response to life to say, I know a God. There's so many dimensions to that phrase and to those four words. I know a God, and you can say amen as you feel led in this section. I know a God who parted the Red Sea, right? just to deliver his people from slavery. Why? Because he is the parter of seas, church. I know a God who stopped an entire Jordan River in mid-flow to allow his people to cross over into the land that he had for them. Why? He's the stopper of tides. I know a God who made the sun stand still for 24 hours to give his people victory. He's the ruler of the sun. I know a God who fed thousands with just a few loaves of bread and fish. Why? He's the miraculous multiplier, isn't he? I know a God who healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. Why? He's the Lord of life, church. I know a God who turned water into wine at a wedding. Why? He's the joyful winemaker. I know a God who calmed stormy seas with just one word. He's the God over the oceans. I know a God who spoke to his people through a burning bush. Why? He's the all-consuming one, and he's the inconsumable one. I know a God who protected Daniel in the lion's den. He's the protector of his people, isn't he? I know a God who brought down the walls of Jericho with just a shout. Why? He's the rewarder of praise. I think we need a theology on praise. Praise are not the fast songs that happen when you're coming into church. And some of us, when we're late to church, we're like, oh, it's still the praise songs. And we praise is not about the tempo of the music. How many of you know that? Praise has not got to do with the tempo of the music. Praise has got to do with the lyrics. It's got to do with what happens in that song. So praise songs are typically those songs that ascribe greatness to and the goodness of God. They give to God the praise that is due. Whereas worship is more about our interactive friendship with God. So we're speaking about what God does in our lives and through our lives and who he is to us. But praise is ascribing to him what he deserves. Are you with me? So that's why praise is so important. That's why we should be in church from the first thing of the songs. What's the first note? Can I say amen? Everybody who scooted in here 3 minutes late today, you missed out on praise, and God is a rewarder of praise. Praise is the pathway to his presence. When we begin to praise, he begins to open recesses and parts of our heart that you and I have no idea. Even when we don't know even when we don't feel like we're praising, even when it might feel fake what we're saying and what we're singing, and even when it might feel like you don't believe what you're singing, God is doing something in your spirit and in my spirit when we praise. Amen? So he's the rewarder of praise. I know a God who raised up a shepherd boy to be a mighty king. Why? Because he is the God who sees what human beings don't. I know a God who sent his only son to die for our sins and rise again. He's the sacrificial savior. I know a God who healed a woman with a 12-year issue of blood with just one touch because he's the kind and compassionate one. I know a God who healed a man who was born blind by making mud with his spit and placing it on his eyes. Why? He's the light to our feet and the lamp to our path. I know a God who raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days because he is the raiser of dead things. I know a God who caused a fig tree to wither with just a word. Why? Because he's the God who speaks things into being. Do you know this God? I know a God who turned a persecutor of Christians into the greatest evangelist and apostle and missionary of all time. His name was Saul. He turned into Paul. Why? Because he is the God who transforms the human life. I know a God who walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He's the one who walks with us in every season of our lives, in the highs and in the lows, in the mountains and in the valleys. He's that God. I know a God who provided manna from heaven to sustain his people in the wilderness. Why? Because he's your sustainer in life. I know a God who brought a widow's son back to life through the prophet Elijah because he's the guardian of the widow and the orphan. I know a God who gave Samson superhuman strength to defeat his enemy. He is the one who enables and empowers his people. I know a God who promises to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Amen. So I know a God who is, and I hope you'll hear these words today, church. He is absolutely, meaning beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's absolutely all-powerful. Everybody say all-powerful? He is completely supreme. He is over everyone and everything. Listen to me. God is fully without limit. He is totally unrestricted. All of that to say, and all of what I've said in these introductory remarks, speaks to the capabilities of God. How many of you know that's what God is capable of doing? He is the restorer of sight, the raiser of the dead, the stopper of the sun, the healer, the carer of the widow and the orphan. That's what he does. Now track with me, hang with me. I know it's Sunday morning. I know your lunch is calling. Are you still with me? The only thing more important than the capabilities of God, the only thing more important, more beautiful, more compelling, the only thing more crucial for you and I to know in life than how capable God is to know the character of God. That we would become, Thrive, a people who believe not only in the capability of God, in His strength, in His power, in His miraculous ability, in the power of His voice, and in the power of His touch. Are you with me? But that we would be people who come to know the heart of God as well as the hand of God. Are you with me? Because when we do, we become Christians with a well-rounded theology. You see, what happens is if we only focus on the capability of God, and we must focus on it, we should focus on it, we need to trust God for the capability of God. Every single one of us needs God to do something for us from time to time. Can I get an amen? But more important than that is the character of God. You see, when we become people who focus only on the capability of God, we become miracle chasers. We become people who know the hand of God, but don't know the heart of God, don't know the mind of God, don't know the thinking of God. Are you with me? I'll give you an example. Years ago, I walked into the first life-giving church I ever went into, and I walked in there just actually in the preceding week feeling like there was something going wrong with my back. And the reason that I felt that was because something was going wrong with my back. You see, what had happened is when I was 5, I had a car accident and my right leg was very badly broken. And it resulted in my right leg becoming shorter than my left leg. So as my left leg grew, my right leg kind of lagged. And there was a 3-centimeter gap or difference in size between my right leg and my left leg. And so that eventually starts to manifest problems in your back. And so I walked into this church one day, and the pastor said during the service, I'll never forget, it's such a softly spoken man, but he had a gift of healing in his life. He prayed for people to get healed, apparently, especially legs, to lengthen. This was a bit of a party trick that he had. He prayed for people's legs, and they grew. One day he says, anybody who's sick, come forward. Anybody whose legs are different lengths, come forward to the front of the church. I looked around and it seems like I was the only one with one dodgy leg. But I thought, I'm not going to miss out on this. So I walked to the front of the church and he sat me on a chair in front of the whole church, Nochal, just like this. It would be like I pulled out pit pompies from the congregation and said, hey, come. Anyway, but I came voluntarily. Nobody forced me. I came. I sat on the chair. He put I sat on this, and then he put my legs out like this for the whole congregation to see the 3-centimeter gap. And then in his quiet, softly spoken voice, he simply prayed, Father, I pray for his leg to grow. Right there. It grew. In front of my, like it was so quick, you blink and you miss it. All of a sudden he says, hold out your legs again. And there they are. Perfectly normal, perfect length. Isn't that incredible? I was like, wow. Now, it would have been so easy for me to have taken that miracle and just left it at that. You see, the thing is, as wonderful as that was, church, it changed my leg. It didn't change my heart. That's what happens when we become miracle-seeking Christians. Our situation can change and our heart can remain as is. And yet, here's the thing, we are commanded, taught, instructed, invited to pray for healing. We are. We should, any day of the week, any time we can, we should pray for healing. Are you with me? We should pray for miracles. We should pray for break. I'm just saying it's incomplete if that's where we anchor our theology. And as important as the capability of God is the character of God. In fact, more important. Are you with me today? The only thing more compelling than God's capabilities is God's character. So I started today by talking about some things that God's capable of, God's capabilities. I know a God who did this, who did this, who did this. But how about now I tell you about the God I know and who he is and not just what he's done. I know a God who's completely faithful, church. Who is completely and utterly faithful. He never goes astray. He never has a stray thought about you and me. He is completely and utterly faithful. The way I'd like you to think about God in this respect is like a compass. Of course, on our phones these days, we've all got compasses, haven't we? And so if I open the compass on my phone and there's a little red arrow on my compass that tells me which way north is all the time. So I can tell you right now, that's north. If you're from Pretoria, Defaderland is that way. Help me out, Brakpan. Which way is east? If you are heading out to Brackies, if you're going to the far east, there's east. If you come from Slabstadt, Sait, that way. And west, if you're from Krugersdorp, Roodepoort, anywhere from the Wild West, that's where you must go home. The point is, this compass, doesn't matter which way I walk, doesn't matter where I go, doesn't matter which direction I'm headed in, doesn't matter how much I try and confuse it with my weird and wonderful ways, it keeps pointing me back to north, which is that way. God is like that. Faithful to us, always, always pointing us to true north, always letting us know which the right way is, always standing as a true north to say, here I am, here I am, here I am, come back, come back, come back. Are you with me? Prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, he is always your true north, waiting for you with wide open arms, waiting for me with wide open arms. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, doesn't matter how, what's gone on in your life, it doesn't matter which path you've taken in life, he is always the true north that waits for you and I with arms wide open. He's always the Father scanning the horizon. He's utterly and completely faithful to you and I, no matter how unfaithful we may be in the seasons of our lives. Is anybody glad about that? So I know God who's faithful. Lamentations 3, the Lord's great love, because of it, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail, they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Pastor Kathy's favorite verse. Put that in just for you, Pastor Kathy. Secondly, I know a God who's full of mercy and grace. Full of mercy and grace. Do you remember in school where you wrote in pencil? You know, when we were still learning to read and write, we wrote in pencil because pencil could be rubbed out. And then eventually what you get to about grade 4 or something like that, and you get your pen. Does anybody remember your pen license? That's it. Yeah, your pen license. And it's much harder to write out in rub out when it's in pen, isn't it? God is so full of mercy and full of grace that everything in your life is written in pencil, friends. There's not a thing you haven't done that isn't written in pencil. There's not a thing and a place I haven't been that's not written in pencil in my life. With God, nothing is written in pen. Anything can be rubbed out. Any part of your past can be cleared away. He is the great eraser of our sin, the great forgiver of our sin. The scripture The scripture tells us that he removes it as far as the east is from the west. Tells us that he can't remember it. That's what happens to the man and the woman who decides to follow Christ, put their faith and their hope in Christ. God remembers your sin no more. Doesn't mean we don't repent. We absolutely do repent. Are you with me? But once we have done so, he removes it. Why? Because he's full of mercy and grace. Ephesians 2. God is so rich in mercy, everybody. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ. And it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. I know a God who is faithful. I know a God who's full of grace and mercy and truth. Amen. I also know a God who knows it all. Who here loves puzzles? Raise your hand if you love puzzles, if you're happy to do puzzles. Have a look at this. And I chose this piece particularly because you can see the interlocking pieces, can't you? You can kind of see where one piece locks into the other, hey? And I thought about that. Isn't that like our lives? We spend our whole lives trying to put our life together, trying to put the pieces of our life together, trying to figure out where the pieces go. What I want to say to you today is God is the great puzzle maker. He knows where every piece of your life and my life needs to go, where it goes. And the moment that you take the puzzle pieces out of the puzzle box and you scatter them on the table as you prepare to do it, God already knows where every piece goes. God's not confused about our life, my life or your life. He's not wondering about that piece or that event in your life. He's not wondering about that person in your life. He knows the beginning from the end. This is why I say he knows it all. And today, if you're struggling to put the pieces of your life together, can I suggest that you give it to the great puzzle maker? And say to him, I have no idea what this piece of my puzzle is. It could be a person, it could be a place, it could be an event, it could be a challenge, it could be a difficulty. And just say to him, God, would you put this piece in my life where it needs to be? God, you see the big picture. Work the big picture for me. Amen. Isn't it good that we can say, I know a God who knows every piece of the puzzle? Psalm 147 is so encouraging. How great is our Lord? His power is absolute. I love this. His understanding is beyond comprehension. He's already got the pieces of your life and my life figured out. All we've got to do is give it to him. And along those lines, I know a God who not only knows it all, but he's sovereign. Meaning he's completely in control and has absolute authority and absolute discretion, and his timing is perfect. And in this respect, I want to ask you to think of him like, or think of life like a chessboard. Can you see the chessboard? Can you see the chess pieces? Any nerds who love chess, raise your hands. I'm always so amazed at how proud people are that they play. It's such a wonderful sport. Is it a sport or is it a cultural activity? What is chess? Sport. It can't qualify as a sport unless you break a sweat. Must be called. Preaching is a sport, as you can see. There's a chessboard. And the chess pieces only find meaning. They only find purpose. They only find what they were created and carved out to do. I hope somebody hears me today when they're on the chessboard. And when they are submitting themselves to the chess master. They are saying, God, you know the moves. You know the pieces. You know the blocks. You know the terrain. But you've got to be on the chessboard. Today, maybe you arrived in church not on the chessboard. What do I mean? You reckon you can do life better than what God can do your life. You reckon it's my principles are better than God's principles. You reckon pleasure is more important than significance. You reckon selfishness is better than selflessness. You reckon it's better to go my own way, ride my own car, be in the driver's seat of my life? Today, the invitation for you is get back on the chessboard. And when you do, you see this chess piece. When it's off the chessboard, it's just a little wooden piece of carving. But the moment it's on the chess piece, it's able to be moved around. It's able to be deployed. It's able to find the meaning and the significance for which it was created. This is a queen, but it's only a queen when it's on a chessboard. This is a knight. It's only a knight. It's only a knight if it's on the chessboard. Are you with me? You and I only find meaning and purpose and significance and the shape of our lives when we're on the chessboard, when we decide to get with God's agenda for our lives. Are you with me? I know a God who's sovereign. He looks after the chessboard. Proverbs 19, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I know a God who is entirely holy. What does holy mean? It's not to walk around in a white robe with a halo above your head singing cool songs. Holiness means set apart. It means distinguished from. It means differentiated from. It means different. That's why Jesus also describes Christians as salt and light and yeast. Are you with me? That we are different to the environment within which we find ourselves. How many of you know we find ourselves in a messed up world, in a fallen world, in a world of sadness and tragedy and difficulty? And we find ourselves in a world where there's hopelessness. And when we get and when we understand that God has called us to be holy, and holy is not just a standard of life, holiness is a disposition in life. Holiness is a quality in life. Holiness is who we are in life. Holiness is that we are, if something's unsalty, we're salty. If something's dark, we're light. If something's a batch of dough, we're the yeast in it. Are you with me? We are the city on a hill. We're not anything on the level playing fields. We are the one that is elevated so that people can see, are you with me with what holiness means? And the moment you and I make a decision to follow Christ, the moment you and I say yes to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And like those science experiments, remember the glass of water, you got the clean one and you got the dirty one. And then in science experiment, you put a little something solution in and zoop, almost like magic, the glass clears, hey, and the water begins to clear. Has anybody done that? Still do science in school? So cool to watch the result, isn't it? It goes from kind of, and that's what happens is we slowly but surely we become this. And the Holy Spirit cleans us moment by moment, day by day, as He makes us more like Jesus. You tracking with me today? Being helped? It's 1 Samuel 2:2. No one is holy like our God or like the Lord. There's none beside you. There's no rock like our God. I also know a God who is love. If I grab this mirror and I look into the reflection of this mirror, if I look into this mirror, I see my reflection. And if I had to hold it up to anybody here, if I had to hold it to Nick or to Tyler, they would see themselves. Here's the thing, church. When we look at God's love, we see His character. God's love is like a mirror that reflects God's character back to Him. If you want to know what God is like, look at His acts of love. Look at His words of love. Look at the characteristics of love. Look at His compassion in Scripture. If you want to know what God is like, just look at how much He loved His people. And I always say to people, if you're uncertain of how to do this, start in the Gospels. Start with the book of Mark, second book of the New Testament. Matthew, then Mark. Start with Mark. And look at every time Jesus responds to a human being in love. And then you'll start to look in the mirror of God's character and you will see who He is. Love is the mirror that shows us who God is. It is the purest thing about Him that reflects back the character of God to us. I know a God who is love. 1 John 4, verse 9. God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life. I know a God who is Jesus. And I could go back and take every attribute of God that we've been through this morning. And I could say to you, I know God who's completely faithful. Yes. I know God who's full of mercy and grace. I know a God who knows it all. I know a God who's sovereign. I know a God who is love. I know a God who's holy. And all of them would come together in one package called Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, even more so than looking into the Gospels at the acts of love, look into the Gospels for the person of Jesus. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what he did. Look at how he responded. Look at what he spent his time on. Look at how he ordered his life. And you will see God. Christ is the perfect and complete representation of God. So when I say I know a God, what am I really saying? I know Jesus. Look at Colossians with me, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ, what do you say? In Christ lives what? All the fullness of God in a human body. The most complete and certain way that we know God is to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, right now in this moment, let me give you an opportunity to say yes to him. Let's take a moment, bow our heads, close our eyes. Right where you are right now, my question simply to you is, if you want to know the God of love and faithfulness and holiness, the one who is sovereign, the one who is full of grace and full of mercy and full of truth, he is found in the person of Jesus. And every human being on planet Earth can say yes to him simply by saying in their heart of hearts, Jesus, I decide to follow you. I give my life to you. I ask you to come into my life. I trust you as Lord and I trust you as Savior. And if that's you, I'm just pausing the message right here just to give you this moment and this opportunity. If you're seated here, it's almost like in this moment as you respond, and if you want to respond, I'm going to ask you in just a few seconds. When I do a quick count to three, you can raise your hand on three. That's so that everybody knows. But what I want to say to you, here's the analogy. I'm speaking to Elevate. I'm speaking to the balcony. I'm speaking to every person on the lower level. If you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, it's like you're deciding to get out of your seat and to get out into the passenger seat and let him take the driver's seat. That's you this morning. Be my privilege to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to respond just on the count of three. Ready? Here we go. On the count of three, you can slip up your hand and I'll see you and say thank you. One, two, three. Hands up across this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you up on the balcony. Thank you. Thank you at the back. Thank you. 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 I want to say this to those of you who are responding in this moment, and then we're going to move on. Every single person who's made a decision to respond to Jesus right now, in this moment, you are saying to Jesus, I make you Lord. I make you Savior. That means you're going to trust him for the forgiveness of your sin, and you're going to make him Lord of your life. That means, here's where the rubber hits the road. It means we make a decision to let him run our lives. That means that we take his words in scripture as the authority in our lives. That means we start to live like Jesus lived. We do what Jesus did. That means we start to give up our lives. And Jesus said, I feel like I'm speaking to somebody, might even be somebody who hasn't responded this morning. Thank you for your hands that are still going up. Thank you. So I'm speaking to somebody or some people this morning to say that you've been hanging on to your life. You've been wondering, can I surrender my life? Jesus said, when you lose your life for my sake, you find it. And the reason why your life isn't taking the shape that you wanted it to is because You've been in the driver's seat and you will not get out of the driver's seat and get into the passenger seat. But today the invitation for you and the conviction that the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart is to do this. And it might be that you won't quit on that relationship, even though you know that person's bad for you. You won't give God lordship in an area of your life, even though He's been asking you for it. You won't forgive because you're so stubborn about it. You won't bring your tithe because you think God's going to drop you. There's just area after area after area. Like, you won't pursue sexual purity because you think to yourself, that can't be possible. And that's what I need. I need sex. That's what you've been saying. I need sex. So how on earth could I do that? Whoever I'm speaking to, I want to say to you that the surrendering your life to Jesus is the greatest and safest thing you can ever do in your life. It'll also be the most inconvenient. It'll also be the most challenging. It'll also be the most difficult thing in your life, but it'll be the most worthwhile thing in your life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let me wrap up. Are you all still with me? Let me give you a statement, and maybe you can take a picture of it. Hold this as your statement for the year. God's people thrive when they begin to have faith in the capabilities of God and confidence in the character of God. Yes? It's not Colossians. God's people thrive when they begin to have faith in the capabilities of God and confidence in the character of God. So church, just lift the lights a touch, would you, for me, please? Just lift the house lights just so I can look us in the eyes. And just say, church, this year, in 2020 thrive, right? Pastor Kat mentioned 2020 thrive. We are going to become a church that says as a default, I know a God. Are you with me? But it's a statement. It's a statement that has a balance to its theology. I know a God who is a God of breakthrough. I know a God who is a God of miracles. I know a God who can do the impossible. And I am going to pray for difficult things, and I'm going to pray for impossible things, and I'm going to pray for God to move mountains, and I'm going to fully expect for God to shift things in my life. Can you say amen? So my job in this moment is to stir your faith. My job is to take a wooden spoon and stir it. You know, picture yourself baking, and what do you need when you bake? You got batter, right? And how many of you know batter needs a certain ingredient in order to rise, doesn't it? What does it need? It needs oxygen. It needs air. It needs air bubbles. How do you do that? You stir. You stir. My job is to stir you in this moment and to say no flat batter allowed. You need bubbles in your batter. I need bubbles in my batter. And so as we stir our faith this year, we are going to pray. When was the last time you prayed an impossible prayer? When was the last time you prayed for something? That, you know, we prayed after the first service for somebody. He said to me, I've been praying for 12 years for this. And Pastor Kulu said to him, so did the woman who had an issue of blood. And then on the 12th year, God did something for her. How many of you are trusting God for 12-year problems to be solved? Amen? But we're not going to just be miracle-seeking Christians. We're not just going to be Christ followers that are out to know God for a miracle. I don't want you and I don't want me to know God because of the miracles that He's able to do. I don't want to know God just because He's the God of breakthrough. I want to know God for who He is. More than His capability, I want to know His character. Isn't it interesting that Peter was the one who walked on water, but it was John who laid his head against Jesus' chest in the Last Supper? Isn't it amazing that the one who received a miracle, who saw miracles, who walked on water, was the same one that had to be challenged? Do you love me? Do you love my sheep? Do you love my sheep? John, who never received a miracle like that, was the one who leaned on Jesus' chest. Let's be people who lean on the hand of God and also on the chest of God, that want to see the hand of God but also want to see the heart of God and come to know the heart of God. Are you with me? So 2025, which will be our year, 2020 thrive. That's what we're trusting God for. On the one leg, we trust with the capabilities of God, and the other is we trust the character of God. Are you with me today? Come church, come, let's stand to our feet. Are you ready to worship? Come, let's take a moment and pray. Come, let's make a moment. Let's take a moment. Every single one of our hearts in these moments, we have the opportunity to respond right now to what God is saying to us. There's a response in your heart and in my heart, and it needs to find its way to heaven. So I'm going to ask you to lift your hands to heaven, lift your eyes to heaven, lift your hearts to heaven, lift your thoughts to heaven. And right now, we're not Catholic, so we don't need a priest to intercede for us. You can begin to pray. You can begin to respond to the Lord in your own way, in your own words, with your own heart's desires, and begin to ask Him what it is that He's stirring within you. What is it within the capabilities of God that you needed to be reminded of, that you needed to be empowered for, that you needed to be inspired with and reminded of today? What is it in the character of God that's gripped your heart, that's gripped your mind, that's gripped your imagination? And begin to just give Him thanks this morning. Begin to pray. Begin to ask Him for it. Begin to ask Him to take this word and to put it deep into your soul this morning. As we pray, we're going to begin to sing. And we're going to begin to respond. We're going to lift our eyes to heaven. We're going to lift our hearts to heaven. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on Him. Lift our hands to Him. It's like, I love lifting hands because it's like, Jesus, I want to touch heaven. So come, every voice in this place, let's sing.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.